Actor reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, sisters and brothers from all around the world, from every single corner of this world. Welcome back to a new episode of Back to Reality. Well, this is IRIB English Radio, and I'm Asma as your host. Once more, I have the pleasure to be here with Brother Mustafa and Brother Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum, brothers.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Oh, well, I'd like it if you introduce yourself briefly.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. So my name is Sayyid Abdullah al-Musawi, teacher, student, seeker, preacher of Islamic knowledge in general.
Yeah. And you, Brother Mustafa?
My name is Sayyid Mustafa. I am a student here and I'm studying psychology.
Well, very good. As for today's episode, we're going to talk about something very, very interesting. Because I remember ever since I was a child, I used to ask myself this question that since we're in the month of Muharram, well, this question comes up every now and then. And then you just ask yourself, so what if I was in the battlefield of Karbala? Then which side would have I picked? Because, as you know, it's not very much easy to say that if I was there, I would have been, diligent enough to understand the truth, to get the fact that, okay, this person who's in front of me is the infallible imam, and I have to see the truth with my eyes, to pick the side that is going to have too much of difficulties for me. So what about you? Have you ever thought about it? I mean, which side do you think you would have picked if you were in there? And let's start with Brother Mustafa.
Sure. So it's obviously an interesting question. Everyone thinks about it. Being in Karbala is a very, very heavy kind of... It's like the elite of the elites, like the best of the best were there, right? And am I of the best of the best? No, I'm not, right? Hopefully, I wouldn't be in the army of Yazid, Another interesting question that arises from this was something that my cousin asked me recently. And he said, it's a historical event. He was talking about Karbala and he was saying, it's a historical event. You know, I was in there... what does it have to do with me? That's what he was asking, right? He's like, every year, we cry, we commemorate it. But it happened so long ago, right? That's what he was saying. And for me, I would say that, but on a symbolic level, it's happening right now, right? That's what we all agree with, that Karbala or the fight against oppression, and we have to see where we are in that fight. And I'll let Brother Abdullah contribute and add to that a few bushes.
It's an interesting question, which is actually a question that everybody should be asking themselves that. And the answer, like the brother Mustafa said, it's really not an easy answer. Because if you ask the majority of the Shia, or even non-Shia, they're like, oh, of course we're going to be with Imam Hussein, of course we're going to fight with Imam Hussein. But they don't understand the... And this is like something I not only in Karbala, I would
the
always...
The pressure of the situation.
No, I just not just Karbala, but I would ask myself the question if I was, for example, time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the same thing. Time of Imam Hassan, the same thing. Time of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the same thing. Because you have a lot of factors. Because now we grew up in a Shia family, we grew up in a Muslim family. So everything was fed to us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the hadith from the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that says everyone is born on the fitrah, it's up to the parents to make him a Jew or a Christian. Yahudana or Nasrana. So at the end of the day, the family plays a major role. So what if I was at the time of Karbala or time of Imam Hussein? I was born in a Yazidi family, for example. It's going to be automatic brainwashing. Or if I was born in a non-Muslim family, for example, same thing. And then even if I was born in a Shi'i family, like the brother said, probably he said, I would be hiding. What if my family, the one that I'm with, for example, most of the people during Muslim ibn Aqil's uprising, they were behind him. Then the mothers and parents, they came and took their children back. Leave him. This is not your problem. What if my parents were like that? So you have the family to worry about, the family upbringing, and you have the environment to worry about. So your social interaction also. The media of the day was doing a lot of brainwashing to people, and people were affected by the media. So there were a lot of factors that shaped the people that either went with Imam Hussein or went against Imam Hussein. And mind you, most of the people that actually went against Imam Hussein, they have no idea what was going on. They just went, they said, okay, let's go fight, and they fought. So only if you look at the technicalities of Karbala, only a few battalions they were aware of what they're doing. The rest, they had no idea what they were doing. The rest, some of them didn't even know there was a battle because there was such a big amount number. And Karbala is not just Bain al-Haramain. It's actually at least 9-10 kilometers in width, because, you know, you're talking about horses and running and coming forward. It's not just, we assume it's just between Bain al-Haramain. No. So the actual details differ. So all these factors will play. So where would I be? Mm-hmm. And that's, again, it depends on the family I'm raised.
So let's go for a break and then see where would I be.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Welcome back, dear listeners. Well, this is Back to Reality. We are talking about Karbala and where would have I been if I was there? So, yes, Brother Mustafa, where would have you been again?
So, going back to what the brother was talking about, the factors that he mentioned that were at play in Karbala, like family or media, I think all those factors are at play right now, right?
Yeah.
For example, if a student wants to come to Iran, for example, you know, they'll face pressure from the family to not come and study, for example, right? They may face that. Or it could be anything where they're trying to do something right and they can face family from society pressure. And that's really that's how we symbolize Karbala in our lives, right? It's not, like I was saying, it's not just a historical event that happened 1400 years ago. It's connected to our practical lives right now, that we use it as a symbol, as a story, as a lesson, and that affects our behavior on a day-to-day basis, right? And that's how we can answer this question. If I was in Karbala, I think you can just ask, where am I right now? Where am I right now in terms of the fight against oppression or injustice? And that will answer for you where you would be in Karbala. Yeah. If you're at the forefront of that fight, you'd be at the forefront in Karbala. If you're sitting back at home, like me, then you'd be in Kufa, right?
Well, every day is Ashura.
A lot of people, they never understood what Karbala is. They never understood what Ashura is. We never understood it from the historical event that took place. This is, like you said, the battle of Hussein alayhi salam. It's an everyday battle. Every Muharram that comes, this is what I keep saying to people. Every Muharram that comes, it is not the same as Muharram that passed. So last year's Muharram is not the same as today's Muharram or this year's Muharram. Next Muharram is going to be different than this Muharram, because every Muharram comes, it takes the shape or form of the circumstances that you live in today. So our problems today is not the same as a year ago. It changed. So most people don't understand that concept. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he himself, like, one of the more you look at the Husseini movement, the more mind-boggling it is. See, Imam Hussein, he was known to be a man of few words. But each word that he says, you can, like, dissect it and you can get so much out of it. I was just looking at one word. He said, mithli la yubayu'u
mithli.
Two words, very simple. He didn't say, I don't give bay'ah to Yazid. He said, someone like me. So he shifted the entire responsibility of fixing society, not from himself. He shifted to me and you. So you are like Imam Hussein, right? You are mithla. So you, at every time, every day, you are representing Hussein alayhi salam. Like Yazid, la yubay'ah mithla. Who is the Yazid of our time? Sometimes it's a person, sometimes it's a system. So there are systems.
Right, right.
And sometimes we support the same systems that cause oppression. For example, people in the West. I say to this because I was living in the West. Right. I say to them, look, you live in America, you've taken an oath, right? The oath of allegiance or the oath of certificate or citizenship. Every country. In America, the oath, I give my allegiance to the country, this. I will give my blood if it comes under attack. Yeah. So this is very sensitive, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And when I say to people, are you willing to make the move? Are you willing to leave your comfort zone? Are you willing to leave America, Canada, Australia, Sweden? Yeah. Are you willing to move? Because you're supporting this country. You're like, no. I'm like, okay then. Well, that's it. Mentally, you just gave the bet.
So although I would say a lot of people in those countries are compensating by fighting against that system, right?
Or they're not.
I'm saying some people, a minority.
Like what? Like few? Like
the other thing is not everyone can leave.
So that's what I'm saying to you. So
exactly.
No, see, this is the idea. So this is where Karbala comes again.
Well, here's more where I would like to add something. I would say that when we talk about Karbala, right, it's not just Karbala or just Imam Hussein we're looking at, right? We're not just talking about like picking up a sword or arms and just going to war. In fact, if we look at Ayatollah Khamenei's book, The Beast of Panja, Son and Son, 250-year-old man, he's looking at every imam in every age and how they reacted to the situation in their age, right? So we have to mimic all the imams in all of their situations.
Sure.
It's not just like, for example, being like Imam Hussein or Imam Ali. It's like about being every imam.
Sure.
And I agree that in an ideal world, people would behave ideally, but we don't live in an ideal world. And telling people to leave their homes is not the first thing we have to do. We have to wake them up before you start telling them to leave. Otherwise, they'll run away from you.
I just don't like to interrupt you because the story is getting somewhere very beautiful, but then we have to go for sure.
All right, all right. Anyway, it was a good discussion, so...
This is the last part of today's episode, and you have very short time to just wrap it up.
Sure. So I'll just wrap it up and say that in summary, what we're saying is Karbala for us is symbolic, not only Karbala, but the lives of all of our imams, the prophets, the Quran, the hadith. It's a collection. It's not just one single thing. And we have to see how we can apply it in our lives.
And the thing that makes a distinction to me, I guess, is the awareness that we have.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
And you, brother?
Yeah, so every time Muharram comes, I always say this to myself when I say to people. So because the brother mentioned something very beautiful. He said we have to look at all the imams and how they each dealt with a certain aspect, which is very beautiful and it's absolutely correct. But Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he's the defining kind of line that if you get the Husseini correct, then you get the other imams correct. If you miss the Husseini movement, then you'll miss every other imams. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he came at a time where one of the things that people were doing wrong is that they were too quiet, too calm to complain. They were happy to pray and fast and that's it. They didn't have enough audacity or courage to speak up. So he came and he tried to change that. Me and you today, we ask ourselves, what caused Imam Hussein to be killed? Like, what was it so wrong at his time that he saw that the only way to rectify and fix is by giving his blood, right? So it's a huge turn in human history, not just in the Muslim history.
A turning point.
So what is that happening today in our time that I need to speak up against? I need to change. Because I represent Imam Hussein today.
Mm-hmm.
What is it so wrong in today that we need to speak about and change? And then we would at least see the light of the tunnel when it comes to the Husseini movement. Otherwise, we will be just doing rows and beating our chests.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, if I want to just wrap it up with my own words, then I would say that it's very difficult to pick sides because it's not as easy as we see it right now. When you are in the moment in that situation, things are pretty much complex and so complicated. Well, we could have that story right now at this time as well because Imam Mahdi, ajjalallahu farajahu, we're waiting him, but we actually do not know if he comes, which side we'd pick. So this war is an ongoing war. It would never cease to exist. And we actually have to think about it to make sure about our own soul and the way we think about and the side that we would pick, actually. So, yes, this was all the time that we had for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Until another session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise. عزك يا الله يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي التي أما رايزك لتصي دليلتك وانسكت.